From VOA, Press Conference USA, here is your host, Carol Castiel.
Welcome to Press Conference USA on the Voice of America. Our topic on this edition of the program, Election 2020 and the role of Pennsylvania, one of six swing or battleground states, which analysts say are key to determining election results. Hello again, I'm Carol Castiel. U.S. President Donald J. Trump and his Democratic challenger, former Vice President Joe Biden, have been laser-focused on my home state of Pennsylvania and its 20 Electoral College votes. Votes, some analysts say, could help decide the outcome of the election. So I returned to Newcastle, my hometown in Lawrence County, where I interviewed Republican activist Richard Flannery and chairman of the Democratic Party of Lawrence County, Paul Stefano. As you may recall, both were featured on my Press Conference USA last July. Barely 3 weeks before the election, I thought it would be insightful to get their takes on the factors that are driving Pennsylvanians to the polls and which candidate is likely to benefit. We're here with Richard Flannery. He's a longtime Republican activist in Lawrence County in western Pennsylvania. He's a prominent attorney and philanthropist as well. You'll recall we spoke back in June about the elections, and we are back again less than 3 weeks before Election Day. And of course, because of the COVID-19 pandemic, many more voters who would perhaps wait until Election Day to vote in person are actually voting now by mail. They're depositing their ballots into drop boxes. So the election is, for all intents and purposes, on. And with that, Richard Flannery, I'd like to ask you some questions to follow up. Pennsylvania is very hotly contested in this election. It's an important state because of its 20 electoral votes. The state was won by President Trump when he was candidate Trump back in 2016. And so we're here to find out the political lay of the land, what has changed since we spoke at these microphones back in June. We're still dealing with the COVID pandemic. President Trump himself came down with coronavirus. He's recovering. Give a sense of what the lay of the land is here with regard to Mr. Trump and other Republican candidates here in Lawrence County.
Well, a lot has happened since we talked last. A lot of changes. The contour of the land is quite different. I think the virus matter is a bigger issue than it was then, even though it was a big deal then. I also think that matters involving our economy are a bigger deal now than they were then. A lot has changed.
Give me a sense of how you think the electorate will go here in Lawrence County, whether despite what has been perceived as mismanagement of the coronavirus pandemic by Mr. Trump, that he is still popular, or to what extent you think former Vice President, the Democratic nominee Joe Biden, is gaining some ground. To what extent have these changes affected the sentiment, in your view, vis-a-vis Republicans for President Trump?
I don't know about whether Biden has improved in Lawrence County or not, but regardless, whether he's improved or not, in my view, President Trump is going to take Lawrence County again. The support for him here is as strong as ever. There's a lot of leadership in our Republican Party who are so much behind the president and the events that are going on. In my view, President Trump's going to take Lawrence County again.
What about other parts of the state, Richard Flannery? We're seeing state polls that show that Joe Biden is actually leading Mr. Trump by at least 5 to 6 to 7 percentage points, which is a bit different than in 2016. How do you see the statewide election?
I think it's become problematic for President Trump that Joe Biden has picked up across the state. I can't pinpoint where or by how much, but from what I see right now, unless these polls are inaccurate, and very often they are, I would suggest that as of today, Joe Biden would win Pennsylvania.
You alluded to many issues that are dominating the election, the COVID pandemic, the economy. What other issues do you think are at stake? Just last week, we witnessed the start of Senate hearings for Judge Amy Coney Barrett. That is President Trump's nominee for a seat on the Supreme Court to fill the seat of now deceased liberal icon Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Of course, many Democrats are very much opposed to the nomination coming in the middle of an election, especially because Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, when then-President Obama wanted to replace Antonin Scalia with Merrick Garland 10 months before an election, Majority Leader McConnell said, we can't have confirmation hearings, let alone a vote in an election year. Notwithstanding what some people perceive as hypocrisy, to what extent is this seat on the Supreme Court an issue for Lawrence County voters, particularly Republican voters?
I'll answer that question, but before I get to it, as far as I'm concerned, this matter of a hypocrisy, the matter of whether there should be hearings to have a vote before the election, is a red herring in my view. In my view, it's all about power, politics, and whoever has it is going to use it. And in my view, also again, if the Democrats had it, they would be doing it. So I don't see that as important. But now, as far as the impact on the election, I've been thinking about it here over the last several minutes. And I saw some of the hearings last week. The thing is, I can't say it won't have an impact. It's going to be a matter of what degree of an impact it'll have.
And let me just briefly interrupt you, Mr. Flannery, because let's explain to our listeners why this is so important. Look, this is a lifetime appointment. And President Trump wants to replace a liberal justice on the Supreme Court with a conservative justice that would literally change the direction of the court. Right now, it's sort of split between the so-called liberals and the so-called conservatives. So there is a lot at stake. And Judge Barrett's opinions on the ACA, that's the Affordable Care Act, which covers over 20 million people in this country, have shown that she might, if she gets a seat on the court, she may vote to continue to erode it or even perhaps strike it down. So that's what's really at stake here. In addition to Roe v. Wade, which is the law which protects women who want to opt for an abortion or to terminate their pregnancy. So I just wanted to add the stakes that are at play.
These are the stakes that appear to be at play. We do not know for a fact what will happen if this lady becomes a justice. Again, it might be negative for liberals, but this also goes to the power of the president. He has the right to do what he's doing. He has no obligation to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg with somebody that is liberal like she was, although I think she's one of the best we've ever had. Frankly, I hope that, in my own view, I hope that the ruling about abortion stands as precedent, and that's my personal opinion. But there are big stakes here, and each side is going to play this up to try to get some advantage in the election. It's going to embolden the base of the Democrats and the Republicans to maintain their positions because of the conservative judge that wants to be a justice. How much of an influence this is going to have on the election, I don't know, but I do think it's a factor.
It's a factor, yes. Indeed, even if it's marginal. Like you said, it's going to fire up both bases on the Democratic side, maybe give them another reason to come out and vote, and also on the Republican side, in a sense to either reward President Trump for succeeding or continue to support that position. In addition to that, what is the sense that you get from the voters? You talked about the economy, COVID pandemic. Now we just talked about the Supreme Court. What about the health care? The last time we were at these microphones, you did say to me that that's an important issue.
It is an important issue, and I think that, just like the Supreme Court appointment, I think it's going to be a factor. I will say this, that maybe it's just that because I'm Republican, I think the Democrats are misstating and are out of context on what they think the justice would do to Obamacare if she was on the court, and what President Trump would do if he was reelected. I do not believe for a minute that President Trump or Republicans in the Congress would do away with pre-existing conditions. To me, that would be outrageous.
Indeed. And of course, I think critics might say, well, where's the Republican plan? President Trump talks about their health care plan, but we have yet to see the details of it in order to somehow either continually erode Obamacare or even tried to strike it down and then replace it.
I'm disappointed that we have not seen the plan that I would like to believe would be helpful. But even there are things about Joe Biden that he's not given all of his plans either. He will not answer the question whether he's going to pack the Supreme Court.
Should Judge Barrett be confirmed as
that's
justice?
That's right. That's right. Well, to me, it was like the debate the other night between Senator Harris and the vice president. That was not a debate. In my view, it was a political conversation. I mean, these people didn't even answer questions if they didn't want to answer the questions. And if you noticed, neither one of them complained to the other that you're not answering the question because they were both doing it.
That's a very good
point. They were both doing it.
You're an equal opportunity critic, Richard Flannery. But, yeah, they came in with their talking points. They looked at the audience through the camera and did what they wanted to do.
Yeah, and I think Pence was trying to challenge Biden's agenda, whether he's a socialist. He brought out those points. And Senator Harris was bringing up the virus and making the points she could make to help Joe Biden.
Sure. They're trying to make the coronavirus, that is the Democrats, the key issue in the election.
And it is a key issue.
Yes, it is. They're asserting or alleging that it has been woefully mismanaged. But we shall see. And as we close our interview, Richard Flannery, let's talk about mail-in ballots. We talked about that the last time at these microphones as well. Something that Republicans traditionally have always supported, but we are hearing from President Trump and some of his allies, they're seemingly denigrating mail-in ballots, saying somehow they're going to lead to widespread fraud, even though there is little to no evidence of fraud through mail-in ballots. But we're going to have many more than we used to have because of the pandemic. And your take on the integrity and legitimacy of mail-in ballots, to what extent you think it's going to be widespread here in Lawrence County? And also, are you concerned about the rhetoric you are hearing from President Trump? Because it could actually even deter perhaps Republicans from voting by mail.
Well, first of all, I'm voting by mail. If that weren't available, I probably wouldn't vote because of the virus. And my wife is the same way. I think the rules are in place on how to handle these ballots. And I have confidence in our elections chief here in Lawrence County on how he's putting the process together. Now, about the integrity, about fraud and all that, if it can happen, it will happen. And so they've got to be careful about it. I'm not predicting fraud. I'm not going to go there. I would hope that there is none and that if anything does happen, that whoever's responsible gets caught and found out, but that it does not impact the outcome of the election. I'm confident that fraud's not going to be a problem.
And to what extent would you care to comment on President Trump's comment in the debate, and he has said it subsequently, that he is not going to say whether or not he would accept what we consider in this country the peaceful transfer of power? Does that disturb you in any way?
Yes. It's not presidential. It's just not presidential.
Richard Flannery is a longtime Republican activist here in Lawrence County, Western Pennsylvania. He is a prominent attorney and philanthropist. Richard Flannery, thank you so much for your time and insights.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You're listening to Press Conference USA on The Voice of America. I'm your host, Carol Castiel. Our guest is Republican activist Richard Flannery from Newcastle, Pennsylvania. For a Democratic view of the local and state political landscape, we now turn to Paul Stefano, chairman of the Democratic Party of Lawrence County at the Biden-Harris headquarters in Newcastle. We're here now with Paul Stefano. As my audience knows, we were here just a few months ago at the end of June talking to Paul about the lay of the land politically. We just spoke with Richard Flannery about the Republican chances here in Lawrence County. Pennsylvania is a key battleground state in the 2020 election, which has already started because many people are voting by mail. They're voting early in person, so voting has already started, even though November 3rd is officially Election Day. So let me welcome back Paul Stefano to Press Conference USA. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, Paul, since we last spoke, let me ask you to give us sort of a lay of the land. Take the political temperature of how Lawrence County, vis-a-vis the Democrats, is doing. We know that registered Republicans do outnumber registered Democrats in Lawrence mm-hmm. County, that Lawrence County went quite heavily for the Republicans for then-candidate Donald Trump, now President Donald Trump, back in 2016. So what are the prospects now for the Democrats? Do you see that they have better prospects, even if they don't, let's say, prevail in Lawrence County? State poll numbers indicate that Pennsylvania is definitely in play, the state, for the Democrats. Talk about Lawrence County.
We had a voter registration edge for four decades, and we lost it this spring.
That is the Democrats.
Yes, the Democratic Party. You know, we lost this edge, but we have a lot of excitement for our candidate. And what I think happened with the voter registration edge, a lot of people that had for years voted Republican now just became Republican. That's not good news for us, but it might just be because there were a number of Western Pennsylvania counties where this happened, where, you know, those counties may have performed in a more favorable way to Republicans than the registration would have you believe. In the last 4 years, those counties have had more Republican voters. So we believe voters that had voted Republican now just became Republican. We lost voters statewide as a party. However, we had more new registrations join the Democratic Party. So we believe people that have been voting Republican for a while, probably since the era of Reagan, have now formally become Republican in these years of the Trump presidency. We outvoted Republicans in the primary election this year, which made us feel good because we said, well, that might be an indication of excitement on our side. And then in the course of time, over the last, it's been 4 months, we've had a lot of interest in the candidate. We have a lot of volunteers. And what we're hoping, we lost this county by 11,000 votes 4 years ago, which based on our registration should not have happened. Our goal is to shave that margin. We do not believe we can turn that margin around. We want to. We don't believe that.
You don't believe the Democrats can win in Lawrence County, Pennsylvania?
No. No, I don't.
But you can reduce the...
We can reduce that loss. Because what we don't have here is we don't have a lot of new people moving into Lawrence County. So we don't think our dynamic has changed here at all. You know, the dynamic has probably stayed the same.
So to recap, Paul Stefano, the Democrats are not going to win in this county, but they are going to reduce the margin of loss because you're pretty confident that people are enthusiastic. Now, speaking of which, former Vice President Joe Biden, the Democratic nominee, has been spending quite a bit of time in Pennsylvania. He is a son of Scranton, Pennsylvania,
yes.
And he was recently in Erie, Pennsylvania, another important battleground county, which voted for the Republicans for Mr. Trump. Is that correct, in 2016?
Yes.
So talk about how he was received there and to what extent you think he may prevail or gain some votes in that county, in other counties that could offset Lawrence County.
Erie County is the county that we can win. In Lawrence, Mercer, Crawford, Butler, these are the surrounding counties, you know, we want to shave margins. Erie County is winnable. And I think the great opportunity we're going to have with Biden as a candidate is he is from Scranton. And he's been pushing that theme of the view from Scranton as opposed to Park Avenue. If you know Pennsylvania, Scranton is in the northeast corner of the state. Northeast Pennsylvania has a lot more in common with western Pennsylvania. It's been beat up by the loss of, in their case, coal and steel. But for us, it's been steel and other forms of manufacturing. That appeal that he could make from Scranton is an appeal that would also connect here. And kind of what has gone on in those places is we've lost industry. We've lost our young. They've moved away. And we don't have a lot of new people moving into the area.
Exactly.
And that's that spark that our party needs, our Democratic Party. We need those new people because where the new are or where the young are, we're doing well.
That's a very interesting point. I want to talk a little bit about the demographics, but just as I asked Republican Richard Flannery, since we last spoke, what are the big issues driving the Democrats? COVID is still here. Mm-hmm. And I understand that numbers are rising, unfortunately, here yes. in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And perhaps across the state, the economy, what are the big issues?
When I talk to Democrats in this area, an issue that always comes up is the economy because of the jobs issue here. We don't have growth. We don't have new jobs. And many of the Democrats have that concern of what's going to be the future. You know, to be fair, on the other side, I don't think that they don't have a concern. I just think that we tend to believe that occasionally there needs to be a more activist approach from the government to spark the economy. You know, Wall Street has done well. The Dow has gone up. I mean, it took that hit in March, but the Dow went up for the last number of years. But people don't live off the Dow, and those are our people.
The Democrats.
Yeah. And even people that are doing well in this economy, they have a job, the job's going to be secure, they're paying their bills, they can buy things and make plans for the future. So the economy is a factor. Healthcare is a factor because we have great concern of what happens with the case that the court's supposed to hear.
On November 10th,
yeah.
They're going to consider a challenge to the ACA, also known as Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that maybe are small business people, buy their own insurance, they're worried, or, you know, they're just in a job where there isn't employer provided. And where there's not employer provided insurance, that's a worry. They don't believe there's going to be this other plan that comes along. And those are the issues that I see animating in the sense of the economy and the day-to-day concern. There is a separate issue of people in our party of just what is happening to our country. Why are we a country now that may be embracing the ideas of walling out immigrants? You know, why are we a country where insulting people is becoming good? Why are we a country that would rather talk positively about autocrats than our fellow NATO members? I mean, I hear this all the time from Democrats that have this sense of, it doesn't matter if I'm doing well, it doesn't matter if I have money, what's happening to our country? Then, on top of all of it, is COVID. We were living with this pandemic for months now, and the numbers are terrible. And in Lawrence County, we've seen numbers, at least this past week or so, we saw a couple spike days that had everybody kind of nervous that is this going to be a bad wave that hits us? Because in the end, it's hanging over everything that makes life, you know, normal. You want to do a social event. Our party and city treasurer had to delay her wedding purely because of COVID. She canceled her reception, canceled her wedding because of COVID-19. And everything else in life is affected. I don't go to restaurants to eat. I get takeout to try to help local restaurants because I don't want to eat in that circulated
sure.
air.
Basically, you're all saying the economy really depends on getting the COVID crisis under control.
Sure.
And that leads me to ask you, Paul Stefano, about the handling of the coronavirus pandemic. One of the signature issues of the Democratic campaign, former Vice President Joe Biden and his running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, is that they would have done and will do a much better job of managing the crisis. They would have prioritized another stimulus package for the COVID pandemic to help small businesses to extend unemployment. And instead, they're criticizing the Republican Congress and the administration for prioritizing, for example, a Supreme Court nominee based on Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But how is that resonating with people in this part of the state?
And especially for people in my party. But I think it's interesting when I hear from people maybe on the other side that they're still terrified of that issue. And the way it was handled, I do not believe that the administration ever truly took it seriously. And I know that's like maybe too big of a statement to make. And I don't even know that I'm comfortable saying it because, I mean, obviously things, you know, we had this kind of modified shutdown. I haven't seen school students since March. We went home and taught through our computers and we're still teaching through our computers now.
Yes. And let me just remind our audience that your day job is a teacher.
I'm a history teacher. Yeah. And I haven't seen a student since March 12th. So now I teach through Google Classroom. So while we shut down and restaurants were shut and I had sympathy for those business people that lost their jobs and the waiters and waitresses and so on, we never took it totally seriously. President Trump that never took the mask seriously. You know, right away when maybe we had settled into this kind of shutdown economy, President Trump called for the liberating of states with Democratic governors. Then when summer hit, there was an encouragement from the administration and from some Republican governors that, you know, the normal Memorial Day partying should start up. That's the traditional beginning of the summer season. and people were partying in beach settings, bar settings, and so on. And we weren't serious. If we were serious, you know, we wouldn't have seen Americans partying in tight beaches.
And perhaps the epidemic could have been under greater control than it is today.
Right, because our numbers are awful.
So that's a motivating factor, you think?
Oh, yes. Yes, because I think a lot of our voters, they look at the approach from the Trump administration and they see how then many Americans did not take it seriously and how some of the political supporters of the president refused to take it seriously. And now the pandemic is still all around us. And it's still in Western Pennsylvania. You will see this. You will sometimes go to a store and people will refuse to have a mask on. And in nearly every case, when you see that, you're going to find that that's a supporter of the president. But to not wear a mask in a closed business, it's ridiculous in a way. I mean, you're only wearing it for a few minutes, groceries or whatever. It's
a safety measure.
It is. It's a safety measure. And when you see people without it, it's a residue of that initial thing that it would all go away with the summertime. It would all go away in the heat. Magically, it would go away. We've heard all these phrases from the president, and that's a sign of people not taking it seriously.
Paul Stefano, I want to now turn to the Supreme Court vacancy left by liberal icon Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We see the administration and the Republican-controlled Senate pushing through the confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett. She's a conservative judge, and she would, if confirmed, really flip the direction of the court, because she would be a conservative replacing a liberal-leaning justice. Mm-hmm. Many Democrats have criticized this as totally inappropriate at this time. We're literally in the middle of an election. People are voting as we speak. And, of course, they point to what they see as a hypocrisy on the part of Majority Leader McConnell, who back when President Obama had a Supreme Court vacancy, more than 10 months before the election, he said, "It's too close to the election to even entertain a nominee before the election. We need to leave that, you know, to the people. When they vote, then we can fill that seat." So there's that. But there is a great deal of concern that should she be pushed through, and apparently she may have the votes, that this would be dangerous to the very issues you talked about that are of concern to many Democrats, and I assume many Republicans. Mm-hmm. The ACA, that is the health care, Obamacare, even the Roe v. Wade, which provides for a woman's choice to have an abortion under certain conditions. How much of a factor is this issue in motivating people to vote for Biden, who is, of course, opposed to her nomination?
It is a motivating factor, and I looked at it from the beginning, and I thought it's probably something that can't be stopped, right? I mean, there was talk from our party leaders of maybe there's ways to slow it down, and maybe it should be slowed down. It was brought up many times. I kind of had almost assumed by just counting the votes that while they're going to rush it, it still probably is going to get done. And so I think a lot of people have kind of taken that, at least on our side, and that's motivated them to make the necessary phone calls.
To
get out the vote and do all those things. And she probably is going to be a judge. And she's
a justice.
A justice, yes. She's relatively young. And I like to think of her as young. She's 3 years older than me. But in the Supreme Court justice term, that is a young justice. But
it's a lifetime appointment.
It's a lifetime appointment. So, you know, she could be here for a while. I told a lot of people, we have to win our election then. And not to pack the court, as there's been the talk of the court packing. I said, it's not to pack the court. But in the end, courts live in the same society as the rest of us. And if you win a lot of elections, courts have to deal with the reality of new legislation or maybe new constitutional amendments or just the temperature of society changing over time. And so she may issue a lot of rulings and she may be in a majority of opinions that I don't agree with. But if a court upsets you, get more senators, more representatives that can write better laws and have a president that can sign and enforce those laws.
Paul Stefano is the chairman of the Democratic Party of Lawrence County, Pennsylvania, a very important key battleground state in the 2020 election. Paul Stefano, thank you so much for your time and terrific insights.
Thank you.
Press Conference USA on the Voice of America was produced in Newcastle, Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C. with technical assistance from Gary Jaffe and Rick Pantaleo. I'm Carol Castiel. Join me again next week for another Press Conference USA on the Voice of America.